Principle, an accepted or professional rule of action or conduct. A fundamental, primary, or general law of truth from which others are derived. A doctrine or tenet. A distinctive ruling opinion. Andre Cohen and AM Horizons Training Group would like to welcome you to today's principle.
Welcome to AM Horizons Training Group. We are the leader in workforce diversity and cultural inclusion for government and educational institutions. Thank you for joining Andre Cohen and the rest of our team as they provide techniques, tools, and best practices for battling micro inequities and increasing discretionary effort. So let the journey begin. Here is Andre.
Hi, this is Andre Cohen, and I want to say thank you so much for joining us here at AndreCohen.com and at OrganizationalLift.org. And so if you're looking for those online classes, if you're looking for CEUs, Organizational Lift is definitely the place to go. What you'll find on this particular presentation is a rebroadcast of one of our previous sessions. And so we hope that you are able to learn, to live, and to lead given these principles that you'll find in this particular presentation. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and we'll start the program. And I just want to remind you that if there's ever anything we can do for you, please give us a call. You can contact us at amhorizons.com, andrecohen.com, or organizationallift.org. And our number is 651-998-9376. And here is today's principle.
AM Horizons Training Group would like to present Andre Cohen. Andre Cohen is a highly skilled community leader, public speaker, mentor, and activist. He's become well known for his highly acclaimed creation of innovative and behavioral changing courses, both for the classroom and online learning. This unique curriculum includes diversity education, cross-cultural competence, sensitivity training, and team building. Additionally, Cohen has extensive experience in educating others regarding anti-racism by sharing skills that diffuse tense or stressful situations, which can arise in anyone's personal or professional life. AM Horizons Training Group is proud to present this dynamic speaker. Without further delay, here is Andre.
And welcome to AM Horizons. Today, we're going to talk about a couple of really simple concepts in regards to diversity and how you can be better and more empowered in your individual situation at work, both at home and out in the community. So we want to start out with that. We want to talk a little bit about AM Horizons. So I want to give you some information about us. We are a national training organization, and we work to cultivate leaders in the areas of workplace diversity and inclusion and capacity building within organizations. So a lot of times we talk about those differences or have diversity trainings. Many of us have attended those. We've also done some inclusion efforts. So we look at ways and we look at numbers to see how we are doing with diversity or increasing our education and so forth. I think the third piece of that three-legged stool, if you will, is of diversity in our workplaces and in our community is actually capacity building. How often do we ask ourselves, are we checking boxes or are we actually trying to build the capacity of our organization or of our personal relationships to be able to increase what we know about different people, about cultures, or are we? Do we find ourselves in a stagnant place where we go to the same places and do the same things and end up having relatively mundane experiences with other cultures? So we work with that. We also do a lot with discretionary effort and micro inequities, and so. Before a person, you know, actually does an act of discrimination, there are lots of predecessors or there are a lot of prefaces to that person actually becoming or writing their chapter on bigotry and discrimination. And so to get to those pieces, what happens is in our family groups and our communities, we often find ourselves committing what is more properly known as micro inequities. And these are just small slights that build and build, particularly on an individual or maybe a cultural group, that lends itself a lot easier to create or do discriminatory acts. So,
you know what bugs me more than my procrastination? When I procrastinate to get my continuing education credits. I'm glad that organizationallift.org allows me to get my credits on my terms. When I was looking for ethics and elimination of bias credits and cultural competence credits, Organizational Lift was there. With their 24-hour flexible online courses, they can accommodate my learning anytime I need it. So it's organizationallift.org for me. That's organizationallift.org for education on my terms.
Now back to today's principle.
We work with organizations and individuals to analyze their micro inequities so that we can talk about how they affect the workplace. And quite frankly, when working with businesses and organizations, a lot of times they want to know what the bottom line numbers are. So how does this diversity stuff impact or affect my bottom line? How do I show some ROI, some return on investment in having you come in and speak to my organization? And so one of the ways that we become able to analyze that and actually, you know, get some statistical data and show some advancements and improvements is through talking about the concept of discretionary effort. And discretionary effort basically says that I have a contract with an organization or even with an individual that they will live up to their end of the bargain and I will live up to my end of the bargain. But it does not say at what level I've committed to making sure that happens. So in terms of work, I can do things at 70% and fulfill my contract, or I can do things at 100% and fulfill my contract. And between that 70 and 100% is what I get to decide how I want to do that. Oftentimes people talk about discretionary effort in terms of attitude. That is one way that one could describe discretionary effort. It's the attitude or the motive that you have for doing a thing. And it's basically how you decide that you want to interact with the world based on the environment, based on the atmosphere. You decide every morning when you wake up whether you are going to give 100% or if you are going to give less than that 100%. And I can't hold you in contempt if you are fulfilling that contract. And so when we talk about discretionary effort, it becomes very clear that if an individual feels good about their workplace or about the relationship that they're in, if they want to invest in that, they will find ways in which to do that. So that investment, that the fact that folks need to feel good has a lot to do with how people give their discretionary effort. And so as an organization, that's something that we work on. We work on trying to improve people's discretionary effort. And that basic concept goes through a number of different programs that we do, from education, diversity education stuff to cultural competence. You name it, that is a core function of some of the things that we do. So enough about that. I want to talk a little bit about...
You are listening to The Principle. Change the way you think. Change the way you live. AndreCohen.com and AMHorizons.com. Now back to today's principle.
Not sweating the small stuff, and how we get plugged in. And then we'll take a couple of calls that we see on the line. So First, I had to go back to some of my my old school texts, and so I've been reading a bunch of old stuff like Carter G. Woodson's Miseducation of the Negro. If you haven't read that, I think you should. Be mindful that it was written in the 1800s, so the late 1800s. So there are some cultural things that aren't necessarily adaptable, but I think a lot of the concepts are things that you can still see today. And if you substitute Negro for Generation X, if you substitute Negro for folks over 50, if you substitute Negro for teenager, I think you'll start to see that the concepts that he delivers are absolutely beautiful and applicable today and almost timeless. I just picked up again Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed. I sit on a committee and we were talking about, you know, why this particular organization, this corporation, was bringing us in as community members to help them with their diversity task. And that book was helpful to me because it reminded me that that the oppressor cannot free himself, but he must be freed by the oppressed. And maybe we'll do that as one of our shows coming up. But one of the things, the other book that I had to pick up was Don't Quit the Small Stuff. And I found this very useful, particularly when I taught high school, because what we would do is we'd take one of those principles every day, and that would be the start of our lesson. So talking about what is small stuff and don't sweat the small stuff. And so how do you define what small stuff is? The easiest way to define what small stuff is to define what big stuff is first. So what are the things that are most important to you and to your organization? Because those are the things that we need to do first. Those are the things that we need to take care of first. And so if we want to know what that small stuff is, or those nagging things that prevent us from being successful, it's important to identify, set goals, and talk about what those big things are. And so, you know, typically in organizations, we'll talk about what policies and procedures are in terms of being big stuff. But I want to challenge you that although those things are necessary, some of the big things that we need to be concerned about are our human relationships. How are people doing? How are they relating to each other in ways that encourage discretionary effort, encourage people being able to be their best and do their best? And so as I was flipping through the book, a couple of things stood out. And one of the I was looking at page 47, principle number 17. And it basically says, surrender the fact that life isn't fair. Now, that's pretty profound. It seems simplistic, but it's pretty profound to recognize and remember that life isn't fair. And so what that means is that I have to be an individual who's able to shape my destiny in such a way that I don't need things to be fair. Because one of the things that I recognize is that preparation and good timing create a huge number of opportunities. I would often talk with my college students about, you know, I'd ask them, how many of you would like $1 million in gold? And everybody would raise their hand. And I said, what if I put a stack pile for you in the parking lot of $1 million of gold bricks? But I put $1 million worth of gold bricks in the parking lot. And they were, each one was for you. There's no tricks. There's nothing. Those are for you. And the students would get excited, and we'd talk about the things they could do with the money and so forth and so on. And then finally, I'd ask them, how would they get that home? And many of them, you know, they said, well, I'd put it in my car. But if you leave the stack of gold brick, what is going to happen? Well, onlookers are going to, as soon as you walk away from that, onlookers will be ripe and ready to pillage what you've left behind. And so then we also talked about, well, if you take it all, how would you take it? And some people said, well, I'd put it in my car. Well, I'm not sure how many gold bricks, particularly if you have a million of them, you can put into a Toyota Prius. I'm assuming probably not too many. And then and some said, well, I would just stand there until I got a semi truck. And I said, okay, well, you're standing in front of your gold brick. What is there to keep someone from going behind you and taking your gold brick? What is it that's keeping someone from distracting you from your pile to disarm you of your brick? And so as we went down the path of this metaphor, one of the things that we talked about in the end was having gold bricks and having the ability to have or do great things is limited to your ability to take care of it, your ability to guard it. And so when we talk about our human relationships, they are only worth as much as we're willing to protect them.
Wow. Andre has shared a number of great concepts and tips. We want to take this moment to highlight that these tools are designed to aim in breaking the back of racism, sexism, and oppression. The only way to do this is with love and understanding. Blame, fault, and guilt never move people in a positive direction. As a matter of fact, it actually creates stronger, faster, and more effective haters of equity and justice. Through effective communication, we guide conversations with humility, honesty, and purpose. Our purpose is to reconnect people to the dignity and honor in being human. Now, back to our session.
I see, it's really interesting to see these Amber Alerts, because it, in one way, it gives me a really good hope for the future, because we're starting to look out for our children. And so whatever it is that we're willing to protect or we can protect, actually is something that we value. And so although, you know, a lot of times kids go missing and bad things happen to them, there are enough of us out there looking for them, creating opportunities for them to be safe and speaking up when we don't believe that they are. So that's an extremely important thing. You can have a lot of people want different things. They want money. They want riches. They want fame. But do you have the capacity to maintain it? Do you have the capacity to protect it? And do you have the capacity to actually use what it is that you have? Because if you don't have a use for $1 million, other people will have a use for it. And so I tie that into diversity, in that we build diversity networks, we build diversity relationships based on what we value. And if, you know, and this may sound harsh, but if we look around our friends and our family and we don't see those diverse networks, then it's clear that it's not something that we value. Otherwise, we would find ways to protect it, to cultivate it, and use it. And more specifically, when we talk about workplace, it is even more obviously clear that where and when our organization values diversity. So I think it's interesting. Again, one other interesting point in dealing with folks this week in a consultation, one of the things that we found was that there is a municipality that has built into its contract that minorities and women should be hired as a part of getting that contract. And one of the things that we found very interesting was that this particular employer did not complete his contract, did not fulfill his contract, and was fined a pretty massive amount. And so with that fine, they paid it. They also continued with their contract. And so a number of us, as we were reviewing this process, found some difficulties or some problems with this. And the problem was, what we noticed was that the employer had actually no intention of following through on hiring minorities, so-called minorities, or women as a part of the project, but had actually built in to the price of the project the possible fines that they would have. And so, you know, when we talk about diversity or inclusion or capacity building from a carrot and stick kind of metaphor, and we're using a stick to be punitive, a lot of times people have already totaled up the cost of that, those punitive responses, and decided that it is worth it, both in dollars and in, you know, other forms of social capital to do this or not to do this, and that they're willing to pay the price and the penalty because the benefits outweigh the negative consequences of that action. And so it begs the question, how do we get organizations to move? And one of the things that I think is that we need a lot more carrots, particularly for some of these organizations. And, social media is a powerful tool, and I think we need to use social media to help us make decisions and communicate with each other so that these organizations don't build in inappropriate or build in the cost of inappropriate behavior as a cost of doing business. And so, that's something that we need to remember. And so, what I do see is that I have a caller on the line, and so we're going to go to this caller's question, and then we'll come back with our closing thoughts. All right. So, this looks like we have a caller from St. Paul, Minnesota. So, St. Paul, Minnesota, go ahead and ask your question.
Well, Andre, I was listening to your teaching today, and there's a lot of interesting things concerning micro inequities and diversity training. And my question is, when do you know it's time to call in a diversity trainer into your organization?
You know what bugs me more than my procrastination? When I procrastinate to get my continuing education credits. I'm glad that organizationallift.org allows me to get my credits on my terms. When I was looking for ethics and elimination of bias credits and cultural competence credits, Organizational Lift was there. With their 24-hour flexible online courses, they can accommodate my learning anytime I need it. So it's organizationallift.org for me. That's organizationallift.org for education on my terms.
Now back to today's principle.
When do you know when it's time to call in a diversity trainer into your organization? Well, one of the things that sometimes, so there's two times to call in someone to your organization. The first is when people typically don't do a big change like this until they feel some sort of pain. And so when an organization gets sued, when they are experiencing some kind of dysfunction, systemic dysfunction in their organization, or their public image has been tarnished in some way, that's when folks will call in a diversity trainer. The other time, so there are two times. So the first is when your organization is feeling pain, and the second time is when you realize that your business cannot be effective if you don't deal with or at least have these conversations. And so those are the folks who are kind of forward thinkers. So they're the reactive folks who, after they get sued or they feel some kind of pain, want to respond with bringing in a trainer or at least having that conversation. The second folks I would call proactive folks, who see that they can't, that their growth and that their development as an organization is dependent on their ability to respond and network and work with people who are different from them. And so I think those two ways are typically the ways that folks get introduced to a trainer. And so the next question, I think, if I can follow where you're going with this, is how do you pick or where do you get a trainer? And I think it's very, very important that you know what your, as an organization, what your orientation is, how you want to move and operate, because a lot of times you can get a trainer who is good at stirring up feelings or having people think, but a lot of times, and I particularly don't like a lot of the styles that trainers are using, because what actually happens is they create more division in an organization, and then they're out of there. You know, you hire them for a day, and, you know, they do their damage, and they're gone. And so I always encourage folks to create an organized plan or to talk with an individual trainer on how you can hold them accountable by making sure that they're part of a process. Any diversity initiative is doomed to failure if it is a one-time shot, if it's just a booster shot. Now, I will say that it's better to have a booster shot than to not have any shots at all. At the same time, I think it is difficult to actually build relationships and keep people engaged when you have, you know, a lone ranger coming in or a knight in shining armor coming in to save them or to fix their problems. So does that answer your question, Paula?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Through this session, we hope that you have been challenged to look at the world differently. The things that we have or have not been exposed to are not our fault, but are now our responsibility. Our methods work when you do. Today is the day to make change. Today is the day to break the cycle. And today is the day to nurture your seeds of change.
Now back to today's principle.
So we're going to go through our closing for today. And I was just thinking about some other things. And we're currently working on a project. And the basic premise of this project is that sometimes we're plugged in to the wrong thing. And so how do we get unplugged and plugged into the right thing? And one of our books coming up is called Your Past, Your Present, Unplugged. So how do you unplug from your past and create and plug into your present? And one of the things that we know is that as human beings, we can learn, change, and grow. And who we were does not necessarily determine who we will be. It is the behaviors that we exhibit each day that help lead us to who we will be. In college, I was often talking with some of my students about credit, this concept of credit. And two things that struck me as interesting about credit is that credit is a man-made device, which I personally don't know that it means a whole lot, because typically when we talk about people with good credit, we say that they are they're good at paying their bills on time, that they're upstanding citizens, and so forth and so on. And we usually talk about people with bad credit as being bad risk, making bad decisions, so forth and so on. And I have to say, I used to fall into that camp as well, where it was very easy to determine the personalities of individuals based on their credit score and that kind of stuff. So, but I also found it interesting that if my credit score was such an easy thing to talk about or to use or to have or develop, that A, I should be able to calculate my own credit score, and secondly, why would I need three credit agencies to determine my credit score? And so when I would talk about, you know, credit in regards to students' behavior and students' choices, it became really clear that if one wanted to have good credit, you had to start today. And so paying your bills on time today, will determine if you will have good credit tomorrow. No matter what kind of credit you've had in the past, the time to start having good credit is now. And so a lot of times people feel that they've been dealt a bad hand in the past, that they've got bad genes, or they were born to the wrong parents. Or, you know, in my case, for a number of years, I felt like I was adopted. And some of my brothers and sisters might agree, yeah, he was adopted because he's nothing like us. But no matter what was happening in your life, at some point, you need to decide that from this day forward, I am going to create the kinds of relationships, the kinds of behaviors, the kinds of thought patterns that will actually lead me to a life that I want and deserve. And I'll connect with, you know, with my spiritual connections and community and start to work to build slowly those connections. There's a philosophy that we also work with called 2% change. And we believe that all lasting change starts at the 2% level. And over a lifetime, you can move mountains. You can change your situation by adhering to that principle of the 2% change. And so a lot of times people want to make these huge, sweeping behavioral changes or situation changes, location changes, but oftentimes they forget that no matter where you go, there you are. And so if you're running from something, you'll find that same thing wherever you go. But it's a lot better to move towards something as opposed to running away from it. And so how do you unplug your past? You start setting a course for the future, and 2% change, just a little bit every day, will help you get there. All right. Well, that's our time for today. My name is Andre Cohen, and feel free to look us up online. We're on Facebook. Please, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, friend us. That would be great. You can find us on YouTube. It's Andre Cohen, one word, at youtube.com, AndreCohen.com. And also we have some online courses at organizationallift.com. So if you're interested in any of those courses, that's great. Go to our website. We've got a number of our presentations online, AndreCohen.com, organizationallift.com. iFreeDumb.com and AMHorizons.com. And so until next time, this is Andre Cohen, and I look forward to seeing you be successful. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Wherever you plant will grow, kindness, gratitude, or strife, all fruits of the seeds we've sown. Today is the day that we can till our field and plant seeds that will produce the fruit we desire for ourselves and others.
The Principal, Andre Cohen, and the team at AM Horizons Training Group would like to thank you for joining today's Principal. Remember to live, learn, and lead, because we're looking forward to seeing who you become. And we're out of here.